Lord Jesus, this afternoon, this evening, thank you for another time to fellowship around your word concerning healing. Thank you for the demonstrations of your power that come as we listen. Thank you as Jesus, your son, the healer, is unveiled and glorified. And together as a church, we behold him as he sees us in him. He is glorified and we are edified and our bodies healed. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Mark's Gospel 5. Mark's Gospel 5. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the stories of the four Gospels present us examples of the healing power and examples of how it's ministered and also how it is received. How it's ministered and how it's received. You know, I did say the other day that virtually every Bible subject requires that I keep listening to it. At no point will you become, you'll have mastery so that you won't have to listen again and again. You know, some about just keep feeding on the word. And that'll be a major emphasis this evening, where you keep feeding on the word. You know, they're like, I ate last night, or I ate last year, so I don't have to eat this year. Or I slept last week, I don't have to sleep this week. I think nobody talks like that. You know. Even normal human relationships and communication, nobody says, why did you say we've not spoken? How long we spoke last year? Well, last year is just 2 weeks ago. But you say, well, we spoke 2 years ago now. In other words, if something is of essence, you fellowship around it, you use it, you partake of it, you listen to it all the time. It's the same thing as school. There's nobody that says, well, I read at the beginning of the semester, and that's all I need to do. In fact, most of the time, when it's very close to the exam, there's a kind of specialized reading that you now do. The same thing with the word as touching healing. Sometimes in your mind, particularly if you're a preacher, in your mind, you discover that after teaching something for a while, and not necessarily feeding on it, you now develop a mental assent about it. That, okay, yeah, the minute we want to say something, you know exactly what the person is going to say, but it's not like you are feeding on it. It's not either like you are practicing it. And that's an area we have to look at, and look at it very well. And let me say something. When it comes to ministering healing, I think I said that the other time, that you can even be feeling unwell, and then you lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So it's like somebody making food, and others are eating it. So it's of essence that we don't see this particular subject. There are some subjects that you don't assume. Healing is one of it. And also being led by the Spirit of God. There are things that you have to just keep listening to it. Oftentimes, you know, when you keep listening like that, you just go, oh, there's something maybe I have not done. Hallelujah. And you can't compare 5 years ago to now. Between 2015 and 2020, do you know how much has entered your mind? A lot of things have come into your mind. A lot of, you know, information available to you. You probably even know more about the sickness than God. Amen. You get, and you know what I mean? That's a serious hyperbole, right? That's an extended hyperbole. So you start to, and I said this often to my doctor friends. Yeah, I saw a doctor friend now, so. And, you know, every time we discuss about, I have a friend who is very given to evangelism, I mean, world evangelism, but very unconcerned about the supernatural, maybe about the miraculous. And she tells me she just wants people born again. And that's all. And the reason is because, you know, she's a PhD holder. In fact, she has doctoral fellowships around many discoveries in child care, children diseases. So our solution readily is medical care. As it's just used, you know, I mean, we've been on that discussion now. This is 2020. Let's say 20 years. You know, just a mindset. They're exposed to things and all that. So it's an area you can't afford to listen to it once a year. I know as the days go, look at the kind of population growth we have in the world today, the kinds of things that emerge, you know, a whole lot of, what do I call it now, healthy living has been compromised by modern lifestyles. So the more reason why you must not take it for granted is a subject that you must listen to again and again. And particularly when, you know, as you grow older, you will have seen some unfortunate things. You have seen some people maybe die of sickness. You've seen, and those things could stay on your mind. When you are younger, you probably didn't see much, so quickly, you are quick to believe. You understand? But as you grow, you now have had different experiences. You have seen different things. You have seen, you know, and you have heard testimonies. Of course, you are a faith person, so you first of all ignore those things and all that. But sometimes in your private moments, they come back at you and you say, Ross, emoji, don't deny these facts. You know, all I'm saying is that is the more reason why you shouldn't take it for granted. So it's a subject that you should listen to well. Learn to know how to listen to the word and go back and listen to it even if nobody records it for you. In itself is a discipline you should have, where you can play back a teaching that you listen to without it being recorded for you. Obviously, when you say Bible days or New Testament days, they didn't have the kind of luxury we have today. They didn't. So we're exposed to a whole lot of things. I mean, I think the last time I was warned about the use of devices, that the reason why a lot of people are using glasses today is because of the kind of devices we use. And now, who doesn't have devices? Who doesn't have phones? I know it looks subtle, but it therefore should keep you and I in check as touching the power of God. It should keep you, we should, you know, I mean, there's something I remember, you know, last years back to someone, that if you don't know how to believe God on very simple things, you know, you had a headache, they're not simple, right? I don't want to use that, but then you had a headache, then the next thing you know, you, so when more critical things come, it might become a Herculean task for you. And so what we are doing in this series of school is to go back to the basics. There's nothing I'm saying that is of, you know, one, no. It's just something very simple that is very basic that you can practice. Amen. Look at Mark 5. Now, I know it can be playing down your mind, and we have this your blood. You know, and it just, but let's see key moments there. Verse 25. There was a certain woman with an issue of blood 12 years, okay? Then he says, I suffered many things of many physicians, and I spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. I will just focus on something that may go unnoticed. When she had heard of Jesus, sometimes we underestimate, or should I say overestimate, how we listen. Now, I'll show you something. Just read down. You know, there were two miracles recorded from this point in this particular chapter. There are more than two, actually. There was the madman who was healed and all that. But there was one afterwards. Now, I want you to pay attention to something. Of course, yesterday we were doing Book of Mark, and I let you see that. We talked about Book of Mark, and I said that they wrote things deliberately. Oh, you can remember. Now, look at something. Verse 27. When she heard of Jesus. Now look at verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue. Now notice something. Pay attention. Now, as soon, you know, Jairus was the one who came to call Jesus because of his daughter. And they were on their way when this scenario came up, and a woman with her blood, you know, touched his clothes. And then he was healed. Of course, they had to stop for a while. She had to tell him all that happened and all of that. So as soon as she was done, some guys now came from Jairus' house. Let's assume they sent a text or they sent an email and said, you don't bother yourself. That girl was sick before, right? But the case has, you don't pass sick. Alright? Oga. And then some guys will start crying. They will tell you what has happened. They just start going, ha! Ha! They say, you know, as soon as Jesus heard that, he turned to Jairus and said, now, we both know that Jairus also heard it. Now, look at in the two instances where the woman heard it, she said. When Jesus also heard it, he said. Which means you do not leave reports hanging. Whether you saw it on TV, or you saw it on YouTube, or a friend said, you know, we're in such a funny age, people can just, all these things, they just say, just send the mass, is it WhatsApp? You know, people don't do that for me again anyway. I've warned some people severally. Not severally, severely. Severally is not the right word. Severely. That please, whenever you get to this number, skip it. Right? I'm not part of the mass of people that you can be sending anything that comes to your phone. Now, you know, I could have easily ignored it. No. I don't want to ignore it because I won't know when I will think about it. So, that means that fear. Now look at what Jesus told Jairus. Fear not. Which means fear comes to us by what we hear. And some of them can be very innocent. You know that the daughter is dead. That looks like, oh, well, a typical response. So that's what, I mean, they didn't lie. Okay? But, she heard it. And Jesus heard it. And he said, fear not, only believe. So, doubt, fear, anxiety are communicated to you. Let me say something. As a born-again man, you naturally don't get afraid. Born again, you can't be a doubter. So, that's why in Mark 11, 23, where Jesus spoke about believing, he says, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Now, in the way it's written in the Greek, the doubt is passive, which means it came. So that means doubt came, fear came. Okay? So both Jesus and the woman, they heard something. Now let's now begin to see what I could have heard. You know, you can choose what you want to hear. Okay, what I mean by that? Jesus didn't exactly have some of the best reports all the time. But if you read the next chapter is where they actually said, "Is this not the son of Joseph?" So that you know that he wasn't a magician going all over the place and then he just sees you and that was it. In Mark 6, in his own hometown, they had spread certain information about Jesus in his own hometown. And he now says he could do no mighty work. So in case I had the impression that Jesus just fans on anybody, that has already changed my mindset. So let's look at some things now. The woman with the issue of blood heard about Jesus, then she said. Jesus heard the report from Jairus' house, then he said. In the hometown of Jesus, they heard about Jesus and they also said. So, in one instance, faith was communicated. In one instance, what was heard communicated fear. In another instance, what was heard communicated dishonor. You know, in the service this morning, we're looking at putting, what was the illustration like? What did we do together this morning? Let's do the event service. Have you remembered? So now let's do another one. Don't forget this. Do like this. I know you did it those days in primary school. Did you do it? Someone shouted it. You know, you can actually do that also about your health. And totally put your hands there. I'm not hearing what I'm saying. And most of you are just walking away. So, when Jesus said, "Fear not, only believe," what he was basically saying was, because we said, what the woman heard. Now, assuming the woman was some of us who are very curious. After the curiosity is not spirituality. Very curious. You want to find out. So you link up. In fact, there was someone who told me something 2 days ago. Yesterday. Why am I meeting 2 days ago and yesterday? And this morning? Eh? So he said, "Ah, but sir, there's this friend of yours." He said, "Very good friend of yours. You speak well about." He said, "I now went to his website and he's not preaching this message." I said, "Who?" He now mentioned it. I said, "It's what you are looking for that you got. I only mentioned his name in a post. You now went to become his friend. Is it every name you hear that's above every name? It's curiosity that led you there." I just been curious. What were you looking for? So some folks are just curious. Now, what I said that is, we're in an age where there's lots of information, and then you want to find out. That church, this is what they do. You want to find the details. Now, imagine if this woman was curious to know everything about Jesus. She would never have touched his clothes. Because part of the information about him was that he was casting out demons by Satan. Okay? Come on, are you there? By Satan. So imagine if that was what she heard. And let me tell you something. There is nobody who is not influenced in one degree or the other by what he hears. You think your ears were given to you as a decoration? No. What you hear, now, what I'm saying now, are you not hearing it? Everything you know as a human being, you can subscribe or you can say majority came by what you heard. lectures in school, things you watch on TV. So how would you underestimate what comes to your head? You can't. So she heard about Jesus. You know, we can put a bracket there. She heard about the healing ministry of Jesus. I mean, look at that instance. I mean, if touching the clothes of Jesus was what anybody was doing, and they were getting healed, Jesus won't ask who touched my clothes, because many people were touching his clothes, no doubt. Some would have even mocked it. Oh, they're just touching the man's clothes. Now, wow. You know, there was a guy who went on his website, on a page, where they were talking about, now there was somebody who obviously was, I don't know whether I was making a caricature of people falling under the power of God. So the guy just went there, and I said, you know what? I said, watch what I'm about to say. The next time hands are laid on people, this picture will come back to you. The next time you are in a Holy Ghost meeting, and hands are laid back, and you've seen where there's a caricature of what you're talking about, this picture is going to come back to you. And watch it. You will not receive in that meeting like you had before you watched this thing. Why did you expose your heart to this nonsense? So we therefore must, don't be curious. Know what comes to your ears. I remember something interesting today is his birthday. Reverend McHankin said about his wife. When she was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor, she said they just determined that they were going to stick to the word. Of course, she went for a surgery. She was in the hospital, which I always told you, there's nothing in God's word that precludes anybody from taking medical help. Okay? Now, he said that they just determined that, you know what? That they won't allow anybody to come around her and say sorry. Sorry never helps anybody. That as soon as you enter the door, they say, you know, the power of God is working in her body. You know, that your sorry will just die. Power of God is working in her body. You know, she's going to be out of here very soon. You know, and so people that are coming to professionally cry and say, that was our one uncle of mine. You know, that's when they start their stupid stories. That's one colleague of mine at the office. So as soon as you enter the door, you just say, you know what? Power of God is working here. This room is filled with the power of God. And what were you doing that for? If somebody says sorry, whether you like it or not, pity will first come to your mind. Sorry. And sorry is here to heal a fly. I mean a fly. Both butterfly and sessile fly. Now, I've not said you shouldn't tell people sorry, yo. Okay. For you say, in this conversation, we don't say sorry. So that's the, they will help you put conclusion. Amen. That church, their doctrines are just, they don't say sorry. Even if you are tired, you just say, the power of God, power of God. So guys, that's just the way they are. You know, that's just the way they are. Somebody wants to know, someone said, that I don't believe in cracking jokes at all. I don't. That the man is, his face is always very hard. He said, who? Sir, have you seen him before? He said, no. I've only heard him. And you know how his face is. Yeah, that's how people are, you know. I'm used to people talking like that. So, invariably, you know, you have to control what you hear. Movies. You know, I'll repeat what I told someone who was believing God for healing. And I saw her watching movies. I said, it's not just healing. Eh? It's healing. Don't you know that these things will contain fear and anxiety? These movies. If you don't include fear and anxiety in the movie, how will it sell? Everything is just the word. Who is going to watch it? You and I even like suspense. Who is the actor? Who is after who? You don't do a movie. Everything is just positive. Positive. So, you know, the truth is that the movies you are talking about, they don't sell till there is fear, anxiety, immorality, obscenities. You get it? Even Christian movies. I just gave you one example. You know, it's like that. So you have to watch what you hear. Mark 4:24. Take heed what you hear that you hear. Take heed what you hear. I'm not asking you not to read health magazines. Do it. But read it in a positive light. In a positive light. Don't ever get to a conclusion or feed on a conclusion that is negative. In a positive light. Always know that a miracle is not logical. A miracle is not logical. Since it's not logical, you therefore must be wary of reading very logical things. Sometimes the logical end is RIP. Are you with me? Good. So, fear is communicated by hearing. It comes to you. You heard it. Now, if the man's response was irrelevant. Now, look at this. This is Jesus on the scene. He's God, right? On the scene. If the man's actions were irrelevant, Jesus would say, fear not. Only believe. You just say, this is a contest of powers. No. He said, fear not. In other words, what you have just heard now, neutralize it. And you don't neutralize it by just saying, only believe. How do you believe? You don't believe in a passive way. You believe in an active way. You believe in an active way. So he says, fear not, only believe. Let's look at what you can hear. You can hear what a doctor said. I've learned something. Never allow words to settle on your heart before you say something. You know, there's this thing, some of these, you see deliverance we call them, that they do often. They'll just say return to sender. Now, of course, that is not biblical. Because that's evil. That's paying evil for evil. But there's such a thing as responding immediately. And sometimes, it could be something you just watched, something you just heard, or, let's say, a thought that just comes across to you. Brothers and sisters, even if it's on the road, respond immediately. You don't deal with thoughts by thinking. You deal with thoughts by speaking. Respond immediately. Respond immediately. Someone... Oh, fine, I don't have my phone here. Someone wrote to me, I didn't forget it. I had to check the discussion to know. Was going in for a surgery. And said, sir, they said, after this one, I'll need another one. I need another one. They are programmed, is it he or her? They are programmed the person, I think it's her, till June this year. All I just said was, I guess what she was expecting was for me to say, don't go for the surgery. I won't say that. Except I have a definite revelation about it. You know, then I can say that. But I didn't have. So all I just said, and I said it by faith, I said, that will be the last one. Person said, amen. And told me today, just after the first service, is it first or second service? After the first service. And told me that I didn't have to need any surgery again. I said I won't need anyone again. Now look at that. She went for the surgery, or is it he? Went for the surgery. But the point was, you know, it was just what I said. That this will be the last one. That I won't need again. That was the last one. So, praise God. Hallelujah. So, you know, when it comes to these things, it has to be what you say immediately. Don't wait. Look at that Mark 5. Immediately Jesus heard it. And as we have been studying, there's no word they didn't write deliberately. That immediately means that when it comes to fear, how do you respond? Immediately. Immediately. So those people who say, it's not my portion, they may be wrong in their understanding. Return to sender. Of course, that one is very, very wrong. But you know what? You can actually return it to the sender, who is the devil. Amen. You can give it back to the devil, who is the sender. Of course, the person who said, the doctor is not the sender. Amen. Neither is it your sibling that is a sender. Just immediately. Just raise the noise of God's word. The word meditation, I think I told you, in the Hebrew, it means to roar loud. Now, since it's in the thought, it means that you should raise the volume of your words and thoughts over the volume of the doubt. Like shout out. Let it be a shout. You know, in Bible terms, shouting is an expression of faith. When you shout, Jesus shouted many times. Old Testament, when they praised God, they shouted. Paul shouted. You know, learn to shout. Learn to shout. And say, no! Praise God. No! I'm healed! No! God's power is working. No! Hallelujah. And let your no be loud. Amen. Let your no be loud. And very loud. When she heard. As soon when she heard of Jesus, she responded by faith, by saying. When Jesus heard what they said about Jairus' daughter, he responded by saying. When in his hometown they heard about him, they also responded by saying. Hallelujah. I told you in the service, don't underrate how you talk. We said, look at the few things you saw in the morning. We said, number one, you got born again by speaking. You got filled with the Holy Ghost by speaking. You got people born again by speaking to them. Are you there? You praise God by speaking. You pray and make power available by speaking. So who told you that your word should be underestimated? Now imagine carrying that consciousness all the time. All the time. All the time. All the time. So as soon as fearful thoughts come, fearful thoughts, let me tell you one very key thing. This is by the way, but it will help you. Assuming you have a dream now. You have a dream about somebody. Some of us don't know how to do this. I was going to teach this on Wednesday. You have a dream about someone, and the dream wasn't palatable. Don't call the person and tell the person. It's fear you are going to communicate. God didn't show you those things so that you go and tell the person, Particularly if you are someone that is respected by the person. It is fear you are going to communicate. If I see anything about someone, except when I'm expressly told to warn, I'll just tell you, God's word is working. That's what I'm going to tell you. I'll just pray for you and thank God. You know, someone called me and said, I just saw something. I said, enough, don't continue. From the way you have started, I don't want to hear the end. What do I now do? Pray about it and thank God. So, know how to say things to people. Because you could just be found. You know, imagine if those guys saw Jairus' daughter dead, and they just came back and said, Jairus, even though we just found out your daughter is dead, but this is the resurrection and the life with you. The man beside you raises the dead. You know, that would be positive. That would be positive. In fact, they said, don't trouble the master anymore. Who sent you? Who told you to say that one? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, even as a medical doctor, you can be positive. Well, this is what the reports say. But you know what? God is powerful. Even if the person is a Muslim, you know, this is not the end. And you can't tell the person, I have testimonies and testimonies. How can you be a medical doctor? You don't have testimonies of people that defied your practice. Are you sure you are born again? You should be able to tell us stories of people that, in spite of what you told them and what they knew and what you and your team of doctors said, that they defied it. Amen. A woman, will there be humans? Medical doctor by practice. You know, after she administers drugs and all that, she will now lay hands. He said that she had virtually almost 100% results. Nobody ever died in her clinic. Medical doctor, she'll practice medicine and then she'll now practice the faith. You should be able to say that. Don't get to such conclusions. We thank God. The power of God is working. All things are possible to him that believes. You know? And all that. So, always put premium on your words. As soon as she heard it, she said, now let me tell you something. You know, if you are in a place now, and people are getting healed en masse, right? It's almost the easiest way to get healed. It's almost the easiest. In fact, not the almost, it's actually the easiest. And there's a mass of people getting healed. Hands have been laid, and you know, miracles are happening, and all of that. And oftentimes, when it starts like that, it goes in their numbers. But you know something? Oftentimes, those people lose their healing. Why do you lose healing? Well, the body is mortal. Let me give you a simple example. If you had malaria on Monday, and you got healed on Monday, you know, as long as the earth remains, and mosquitoes are in Nigeria, it will come back again. I mean, I'm not saying it's your portion. But whether you say it's your portion or not, that's just Nigeria for you. Do you understand? But I'm saying to you that some folks like they're like that. They in a mass meeting, the power of God just moves, and their hands are laid. People just receive. There's just that contagious faith. And because they've seen others step out, they step out, and then that happens. But oftentimes, people like that can't practice it on their own. This scenario, for example, in Mark 5, you look at Luke 6. There's a 1 in 5. The 1 in 5, 15. People came to hear and be healed of their infirmities. Luke 6, 19. The multitude sought to touch him, and their virtue went out of him and healed all. So people just sought to touch him. Okay? But look at the woman. Obviously, she wasn't there. She just heard about it. You know, naturally, you just wish, oh, there's coming a meeting where people just rush to Jesus, I also do it. She didn't do that. She just started saying, if I may but touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Learn to use your faith even when there are no meetings. You can't always have meetings. You can't always have hands laid on you. You can't always have people minister to you. But you can always believe God. So the woman learns to do that. Jesus was not laying hands on anybody. She just said, if I be more touch his clothes, I'm not going to focus on this today. I will be whole. Learn to have your own faith when it comes to healing. What do I mean by that? Learn to have your own convictions when it comes to healing. There are times where you will need to have that individual persuasion. In fact, you will really need to have that. That individual persuasion about the power of God. Let's go to Numbers 13 and 14. I pointed something out in the morning in the service, first and second services. And I want you to see the importance. You know, 12 spies went into, you know, Canaan to go and check out the land. They went to check the promised land. And out of the 12, 10 came back. And the 10 said, well, we've seen the thing. The word of God is true. The power of God is real. But not in this case. You know? And I told you earlier on, you know, people like that, you call them balanced. They are very, very balanced. They are not extreme. They quoted scripture. They said what was there. But they balanced it with reality. You know that naturally, we are inclined to believe those kind of people. And to make it worse, they were in the majority. Maybe I should ask something I said in the morning. The one who said you are able, there are two. One was 80. The other was a young guy. So you say this one, what is troubling this one is old age. This one is youthful exuberance. But look at this 10. Balanced men. They are very balanced. They will tell you scripture, but they will tell you the reality. And you know the thing? Look at this instance. Imagine if it were to be today. There is a Facebook post on an issue. And then you watch the pedigree of those who are talking. You now see one young guy, Joshua. He says, one guy that doesn't have anything to do with his life, just doing ministry all over the place, following one man of God. You know, and then he said, this old man, you know the man now, at this age, when people get to this age, they start to talk nonsense. You know, they have 10 guys who say, no, the power of God is there, but you see, we don't think that's what God is saying. We don't think that's what God is saying. That's not, you know, and the 10. Now, that's not even the worst case. When they now kept saying it, it now spread in all the land. How do you think it will take two people amongst millions? See, naturally, I'll just keep quiet. How are you going to talk? So the whole millions, I mean, historically, they said they were about 3 million. Even if they are not million, even if it's just 1,000. And then you are saying it. And the Bible says they had another spirit. That spirit of holding on to the word. Now, look at that. That means that faith sometimes can have an array of enemies. Array of doubts. Imagine, now, let's assume that you are in that territory. And then millions of people said it is not true. That means that every page you go to on Facebook, it is not true. Every house you go to in your estate, it is not true. Every WhatsApp status, it is not true. You know, that is real faith. Let's add one more. It doesn't matter the number. If just one person believes God, God's power will come through. You can have 100 people not believe something, and just one person will believe it. So don't look at the power of God based on the number of testimonies you have seen. No. Don't use an empirical analysis. Well, this one, this one, this one. At the end of the day, this one is more than this one. No. If you are the only one believing God's word, believe it. Did you hear me? No, we are all here now. And we all say yes. We all, the place is full. Everybody is listening. But let me tell you something. Let's assume everybody eventually don't act upon it, including myself. It is not an excuse. It is not an excuse. Even if me, what I'm saying, I'm not going to practice it. It's the word of God. Do it. Believe God. Hallelujah. Be that person who will stand on the word of God alone. On the word of God alone. Believe God. So this woman obviously had a personal persuasion about it. About it. About it. About it. A personal persuasion about it. Now look at something that happened to the children of Israel too. How did they all become afraid? Look at something. Only 12 people went home. But millions believed together. So you need not see something before fear comes to you. All you need to hear are words. You know also, you can guard your circle of friends and ensure that the people that are around you are faith people. People that take God at His word. Because if you have people who are not like that, people that take God at His word, that just believe what God has said. We said in the morning, be quick to believe, right? Say, I'm quick to believe. Say, I'm quick to believe. People that are quick to believe God's word. They are quick to believe God's word. They may look like extremists, but let them be in the circle of your friends. And that could be anything. It could be about you, about the future, about hopes, about your plans, about your safety, about just anything. People that are just quick to believe God's word. They are just quick to say, no, that's not the Bible. That this is the word of God. Now, believe God now. Believe God now. I'll stand with you. Amen. We'll believe God together. Those are the kind of people you should have around you. Not ha, ha. I remember a brother. He was in the ministry where, that's 2003. And he was diagnosed of something. And We now went to see the mom. The mom now said, did you hear what we heard? I said, I learned something then. Till now, myself and himself have not discussed what the doctor said. I just didn't say it. The mom said, I just smiled. So, we went on. Just told him, just believe God's word. That's all. But what they said was a very bad report. So I just believe God's word. I just didn't say it. Why? He has heard enough already now. He has the medical report. The mom said it. The doctor said it. How would I join my own? Out of the mouth of how many witnesses? Do you get it? What he needed to hear was something else. And so, your hearing should be guarded. There are sometimes, brothers and sisters, you need to shut the door. Stay indoors. Feed on the word. Feed on it more. That's almost all you are hearing. Fear can spread in hours, and everybody will be afraid. They were afraid of something they never saw. They never saw it. And the thing grew so that in 40 years, they were still afraid. They chose to doubt God's word for 40 years. You know, if something happens for 40 years, it's likely you won't think it's doubt anymore. You just have gotten used to it. You'll have had a name for it. You'll have had songs you sing around it, churches built around it, books written about it. How we didn't get to the land, thank God. Oh, glory to God. Discovering the giants in the land. You know, it will have become something that they will even be proud about. You know, 40 years ago, that's how we'll have gone to one place like that, and all of us will have perished. So it had become a belief system, even though that wasn't what God said. See, I refuse to fear. See, I refuse to fear. There's no fear here. Hallelujah. Say God's word over all. Say God's word over all. God's power over all. God's word over all. Now, you know, this is not the place you ought to say it alone. Say it when you are driving. Say it when you get home. Say it when a pain wakes you up at night. God's word over all. God's power over all. You are taking drugs. Yeah, as you are taking it, God's power over all. God's word over all. You know, don't wait till you now start getting scared. Why do you get that scared? Because you had exposed your mind sufficiently to fearful thoughts. Amen. So feed on the word regularly. Some will call it feed your faith. Working on your believing. Whatever the terms are. Feed on it regularly. Feed regularly. Feed on it regularly. I mean daily. I mean as much as you can. Feed on it regularly. Feed on it all the time. Hallelujah. Do you know that Jesus spent days teaching? And from morning till night. It wasn't just that miracle worker who just moved all over the place and now is beating drum. Bam, 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 bam. What do you want? He first spent time to teach. Why was he teaching? So that you can have what to believe. So, take the word of God that way. Hear it often. Hear it often. Someone asked me a question. He said, sir, I've heard the teaching of faith and healing. It was very long. He said, but when it was done, I said, go and hear it again. Came back and said, I heard it. I was so blessed. So blessed. Is that why you are listening to it? You are not feeling fine. I say you are blessed. You are still doing emoji. Say, I was so blessed. I said, go and hear it again. Came back again. Sir, you know, in fact, I didn't know some things before. You are still saying no. I didn't know some things before. Now I can see it. You know, sometimes some of us can, you know, still try to criticize people. I said, go and hear this thing again. You will just die. You are still describing the food without eating it. Who made you a nutritionist? You need healing. You are telling me some people, those people will be alive, and you will be gone. So he now got the message. Hallelujah. The next statement said, I'm standing on my healing. I said, bye-bye. Now you got it. Hallelujah. Now you got it. It wasn't for you to analyze it. It was for you to be healed. Amen. Imagine your doctor gives you drugs. You didn't take it. You now sat down. What is the component of this thing? Then let's do a research on the component. Stay there. Don't worry. You will be a glorified chemist. When I say glorified, I mean doxazo. Your body will be glorified. They are trying to, I was trying to just discover what is the... No. You eat it. You take it. How do you take it? You feed on it. You think about it. Then you say it. You say it consistently. A man feeds his spiritual man by speaking. The same way you open your mouth. You know, you open your mouth to eat food. You also open your mouth to his spiritual food. You know what I mean? It's not by saying, as I'm talking, you're like, What I'm saying is that as you have heard the word of God, you open your mouth and begin to say it. By saying is how it gets into you. People have heard their pastors preach. But more often than not, until you hear yourself say what the pastor said, you won't believe it. Until you hear it in your own words. Until you stop saying, oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Every believer is born again. Every believer is an overcomer. Every believer, an overcomer is the one who has been. Now, until you now start saying it in your own words. Pastor said, oh, the Bible says. Now, you now start saying, I am an overcomer. I've got the devil under my feet. I'm born of the Spirit of God. Until you start hearing yourself say that, you are yet to practice it. So, it's time to hear you tell you what the word says about you. So, if I heard something, which is a fearful thought, you know what I do? How do I do it? I say what I want to hear. Someone say, some people, they just want, is what they want to hear, what they want to hear, is what they want others to tell them. Okay, is it what you don't want to hear, you want others to tell you? No. I know what I want to hear. The Bible says, I should take heed to what I hear. Proverbs 4:23 says, I shall guard my heart with all diligence. So how will you tell me not to guard what I'm hearing? Be objective. I'm not going to be objective with you. It's not just objective, it's theory. Or multiple choice. I'm not objective. Oh. I want to hear what God is saying. Don't be objective. Be subjective. God's word is subjective. You know why? Because God's word is anti-fear. It's anti-worry. It's anti-anxiety. So it is not objective. Natural consequences will come like this and the word of God will say something otherwise. That means it's not objective. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say God's word over all. God's power over all. You know, we talk a lot about Job. And we talk about Job a lot. I will go to Job 45. Where he says, I have heard you with the ear of the ear. Now my eyes see you. You know, that has been explained along the lines of, okay, the rumors about God, characters about God, the character of God, how, Job was misinformed, and all of that. But there's a lesson you can easily miss there. He heard it. He said, I've heard you. I have heard of you. I have heard of you. And when he heard it, he now says, the things that I greatly feared. Why was he afraid of what God would do? Because of what he heard. Not what God said. What he heard. You must never underestimate what you are hearing. So, I must learn to hear God's word. Feed my faith. I must learn to hear God's word Feed my faith concerning healing. Hear it regularly. Hear it regularly. You know, all the time, I read the testimonies of the four gospels. I read the miracles and the acts of the book of Acts. I read what God says in His word. And I practice it. Hallelujah. So I'll say this in closing. Change your diet. The same way when you see that, oh, maybe it's something, you just discovered that somewhere, maybe there's something, the way your stomach reacts, you know, and all that. They'll say, what have you been eating? Naturally, medical doctors always say that majority of what causes disease is what we eat. You know, what we eat, what we don't eat. You know, you can ask yourself, what's been my diet? What's been my diet? Well, my diet has been sense knowledge. My diet has been reading from the unsaved. My diet has been reading bad reports. My diet. I need to change my diet. I need to start feeding on the Word of God. Much more actively. Amen. You know, there is no incurable disease with God's Word. Not one. Every time you hear somebody is healed of so and so, maybe cancer, maybe somebody is healed of asthma, somebody is healed of this, be quick to believe it. Amen. Be quick to believe it. Someone told me, how can somebody walk for the first time and run that way? I said, the Bible says it happens like that. He said, well, that was the Bible. He said, that crippled man at the beautiful gate. He said, he began to leap and run, and he was rejoicing. Somebody that was born crippled. You know that child said, how did he know how to see your mind? You're not well. God's word says it. I believe it. I believe a man can be healed who was crippled and start running immediately. I do believe it. I believe that a person can speak for the first time and say, Jesus. I've seen it happen. There was somebody I got saved, got infused with the Holy Ghost, was dumb. The first things he said were in tongues. I believe it. I believe someone can be blind and he will see clearly. I believe it. I believe someone pronounced who has no womb to have children can have children. I believe it. I actually do. Amen. I believe they can be gunshot in a place and one single person will be saved. I believe it. I believe there can be an accident. Somebody is saved. I believe it. Of course, I'm not going to say that to make others feel bad, but I actually believe it. I believe someone can be poisoned and nothing will happen. I believe acid can be put in someone's meal and he won't die. I believe it. I do. I actually believe it. I believe someone at a dying stage, they say, oh, this guy is left to die. I believe he can be healed. I've seen it happen. I believe it. I believe people who are unconscious in coma can come out of it. I believe it. Hallelujah. I am quick to believe it. I believe it. When you are like that, when anything happens around you or to you, you have a positive reaction. Because you have always been ready to react that way. I believe it. So let's take some things home. Guard what you hear. We're in an information age. Don't forget, the devil is the king, the prince, the ruler of this world. He won't give you information to believe God. The last thing I saw, I don't think it's the Holy Ghost that gives them news on CNN. I'm not sure. Have you found out? I'm not sure. You know, on Facebook, whether it's the Holy Ghost that tells them to post what they are posting. I'm not sure. Last thing I know it's a scripture that is inspired of God, not YouTube. Amen. All scripture is inspired of God, not Instagram. But you know what? As I walk in this world, I walk in the inspired word of God. That when I see contrary evidence, I say, no, this is not what God says. A lady, she came years back, and he told the husband, he said he can't have a child. That the guy was working in Zenny Bank was, I almost mentioned his post. He moved to another bank later, I think, then. And the lady said, That was what they went to France, they went to United Kingdom, they went to many places. It was the same report. So she came to Edmond Crescent, you know, and then look at what somebody now gave her a tape. Why bad things happen to good Christians? How many of you have heard that teaching before? It's an old teaching. Why bad things happen to good Christians? She didn't listen to it. You know what she said? She said, it's true. No matter how righteous you are, bad things happen to you. I said, sister, you have not even listened to the teaching. She thought that what is the thing was just to comfort you when you are going through so that you go to. I said, no. It's the exact opposite of what you are thinking that is in that teaching. I first saw that in 1997. I said, go back and listen to it. She did. So she came. And she came, I think, a few weeks after. She said those things. She said, but, pastor, she now came with the reports of, you know, I said, I can't be reading a report. I'm a pastor. How would the pastor sit down and say, okay, so this is. By the time we are done saying all the reports, how am I going to pray? In fact, you have neutralized my enthusiasm to pray. By the time, even me, when I read what they have said, I'll just say, because I said, I'm not going to read this. I said, you know what? We're going to feed on the word. I'm going to take my time. And it's going to take time because, you know, she has traveled all over the place. She has gathered enough information against God's word for her to see a tape and assume the content. You know, that is a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You know, she did. I visited at their house. They stayed at Bagara Estate. Yeah. So I went there. Just prayed with her. Believe God. You know something? She ran to me and said, you know what? I just had a miscarriage. That I didn't even know. I now smiled. I said, so which means, okay, what I told her before, I said, you know what? You know, I showed her Hebrews 11. That Sarah also believed. That the issue is your husband's sperm count. But what about your own womb? Your own eggs. I said, you know, you can actually put God's power there. Then it will increase the counting. She said, okay. So she had a miscarriage. I said, oh, so that means we've taken away their report. I said, that's what they said. She said, she didn't even believe them. She now went to another test. Said, it's a miscarriage. I said, hey, so let's have the proper carriage now. They have three children now. Hallelujah. So you can see, somebody wrote something, doctors are human beings. I tell people that are atheists. I say remain atheists. It takes a human being to be an atheist. You don't get that. It takes a human being to be an atheist. You are a human being. So you can be an atheist. There is no God because you are a human being. But how much control do you have over your humanity? There is no God. You are limited in knowledge. What do you know? You don't even know what is happening in the next place. In fact, without looking back, you don't know what that person is doing. You now say, you know, there is no God. Who do you think God is? Is under your shoe? Just accept it. Do you understand? Even nature will make you look stupid. Do you get it? Doctors and God. We love them. They're used by God. Amen. I mean, the natural. But you see, where their knowledge ends is where our own starts. The power of God is working. It's working. Amen. God's power over all. God's power over all. Amen. 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 So feed yourself strongly. Hear it well. Till you are sure that you are sure. And you are sure as a heart. I'm so sure about this. I see myself healed. I see myself walk strong and live strong. Amen. Amen. You know, you are going to live strong and strong. Decades and decades and decades and decades. Amen. Hallelujah. When I was told I had 6 months, I said, no, I don't have 6 months. I don't have 6 years. I don't have 60 years. Hallelujah. I have far more than that. Hallelujah. And I'm going to disprove it. Praise God. I've already disproved it. How many years now? 28 years. Amen. And you know, I have more 28 years to come. Hallelujah. I'm going to disprove it. Praise God. I told the doctor 2001. I said, I'm used to disproving doctors. And I'll take this one now. Hallelujah. Let me take this challenge. Hallelujah. I believe God's word. I believe God's word. No fear here. No anxiety here. I believe God's word. I believe God's word. 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. The word of all. Lift your hands and thank God.